dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody in SVC land, and welcome into show 281 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox, and we are here and proud to be here for all 281 shows. Shane, that is a boatload, actually. All the shows have been purchased. All these shows have been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. And normally they would be open 7 days a week from 11 to 10. They are, however, temporarily closed, as so many of our businesses are. You can kind of keep tabs on them and what's going on by looking at their website, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. You can also get on Facebook and look for their plans, and so to speak, or you can try to give them a call, 740-773-7529. We so appreciate their continued support through all this, through this thing, and like I said, through all 281 shows that we've put out to you, the loyal listener. We appreciate that. I'd like to say hello first to John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, too. Let's get the John Bruce perspective. What have you had going on during this time? I think we've been probably 2 weeks ago that we came out with a podcast. Mm-hmm. So we've not talked in a couple weeks. What's going on with you?
Just being busy.
That's good.
Kind of, yeah. I put out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram this week the brackets for a greatest SVC boys basketball team of all time tournament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I saw that.
Kind of, yeah. I've been doing a lot of research on that. That'll be shared on different articles will be shared on SOSA that Derek Webb and Brock Netter run. Mm-hmm. I'll be posting those things just to put out the matchups and whatnot so we can vote. There'll be a fan vote. And then I think there's also going to be like kind of a analysis or analyst vote also to kind of break it down just in case the fan vote kind of gets off the rails because you never know. It's going to be something fun to do. I'll have a lot of information out with each one of the articles. Me and Derek talked about it earlier. I think it's going to be like every couple days we're going to post a bracket and then you'll vote off of that and mm-hmm. then just go on, so on and so forth. Something to do every day and to where it's not going to be a ton of information. I've had a lot of fun putting that stuff together. I'm still putting things together. Today I've done some stuff too, just to get the most information out so people can make the most logical choices, mm-hmm. It'll be up to a fan vote, but also, like I said, hopefully do some, analyst stuff. And also I started my own podcast. It's called One More Ride with John Bruce. We've done three episodes. I've got, three more interviews with just kind of random people, mm-hmm. Things that I think will be interesting for people to hear. Logan Swackhammer is actually going to come on here soon. He's entered the transfer portal in the NCAA and I just want to know more about that.
Right.
So, that's one of those things. And, he's got a YouTube channel. We'll be able to talk about it and everything. And then we talk about the main goal behind it. I am somebody that's dealt with depression and anxiety for the past, really badly the last 5 years, mm-hmm. but for the most part, at least the last 10 to 15 years. And I just want to put it out there, some information on it, showing people how to best deal with some mental health issues, and to also show people that it's not we need to get rid of the stigma,
right,
of what it used to be, because I still do everything I want to do. Mm-hmm. It's just some days are harder than others.
Yep.
So, you know, it's been three episodes so far. The first one, I kind of share my story and where the One More Ride term comes from. Second one, I had Derek Webb and Brock Netter on to talk about SOSA and where it started, and just kind of because Derek's dealt with some anxiety stuff as well. And then I had Piketon assistant basketball coach Mark Schiffko on this past one, which I thought was really fun. So that's out on – it's on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, so you can hear on either of those. And I put it out on social media when it comes out. I try to get them out like Friday or Saturday of each week. So that's what I've been doing.
That is great. Wonderful. I'm sure the research that you've been going through, I'm sure that's gotten a lot of play. And I hope your podcast starts to catch on, and it we'll tell you, we're at 281 episodes, we're still waiting for ours to catch on too. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't even worry about it catching on. It's fun. Yeah. Like this is like, I really enjoy doing this. I was very excited to get back into my home office and, talk to you guys today, 'cause you know, we're friends and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things. I think it's, I know I've seen different people are starting them, different podcasts, and it's fun. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a new challenge to try to find stuff that people might enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's, even if it's just for yourself to get some stuff out there, it's really good.
Well, I have a little pride in the fact that you started it, because we brought you in. I think of Brock and Derek kind of to be have been my children at one point.
And
then this other gentleman, Mr. Shane Combs, who we'll say hello to. I know you've got some things in the hopper as well, do you not, Shane?
Yeah, well, guys, it is. It's fun to be back. I'm always excited to get together SVC Sports Talk, and I think that's where I would start. Is I'd have two places I'd want to start. One, even with all this other stuff you do, keep in mind, at 281 shows, as Bruce said at the beginning of SVC Sports Talk, we can't thank Triple Crown enough for allowing us the opportunity to do this for, you know, coming up on a decade and over a decade now on the website. So no matter what we ever go on to do or expand a little bit or do this, do that, you know, SVC Sports Talk's obviously very, very important. And I think John and Bruce was making a great point there in terms of the numbers and ratings and rankings, and I don't even know all the proper terminology because I'm stupid to it. But like, if that's why you're doing stuff, you're going down the wrong avenue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those opportunities to just take some things you enjoy. You know, Bruce, what's unfortunate now is we've always understood we may not get as many people to listen in the spring shows.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I was thinking today was, When I think of these seniors here in 2020, you know, with the situation the Chillicothe Gazette's kind of gone through with some people in and out, and, you know, really these seniors have had kind of a rough 4-year stretch of coverage,
I mean,
in terms of the way spring is going. So I just kind of hate it right now. I always felt like that's one thing we prided ourselves on in the spring with some of the SVC Sports Talk coverage and so forth. So that's where I would start. And the second thing I would say is, John, I've really enjoyed your stuff. You know, that's what you and I have always, you and I have always been friends, and then we've gotten closer through this the last couple of years. I've always known your story. I've always loved your comments, your research, your passion for kids, your passion for high school sports. I think that's where our common bond comes in. Mm-hmm. And now I've enjoyed. I'm about a show and a half in so far, and I've really enjoyed those so far.
Thank you.
The research is something fascinating to me, because it got me thinking about all of those things I went through when I was ranking the players there a couple weeks back when I put that GM article out where you played SVC GM and you had to make your lineup. Because and I'm sure you went through this, and I know I went through it. I've always tried to go through and play your little bracket, and I'm sure I'm a little biased on some. But what's fascinating there is it's accomplishments versus what you actually think with your basketball eye or you know, just in terms of, hey, if those two teams played, here's who I think would win. You know what right. I mean? Like, and that's hard because you appreciate how hard it is to seed because, you know, again, you might think a certain way, but when you look at the accomplishments, man, this team won a gold ball or this team won a section or this team won a district where, hey, this team over here, they won the league, but they only went 12-2 or they got beat in a sectional final. But it's so fascinating, as we talked about last week, like, well, what was basketball like? Who did they play? You know, mm-hmm. did someone get hurt? Did someone – was someone ineligible? There's all these different factors. So it's fun. It reminds us all of different teams and different players, and that's what's cool. So that's the case. But as far as the work that you're referring to, Bruce, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you mentioning that. My brother Matt and I, we've started expanding the zone. We've had three shows so far. The first one was just kind of a get started COVID-19 type of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The second one, we had some really funny feedback on it. It was on cheating.
Yeah.
What's gamesmanship and what's cheating? Where do we cross the line? That's kind of for a little bit of everybody. This last one, The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls, the big series right now. We talked about the championship chain and how you look at how hard it was for them to keep their whole chain from management all the way down to coaching staff, the roster, and so forth and intact, and how at the high school level all of those links have to work together as well. So we have about four or five different things in mind. The Last Dance is kind of bringing up some different things because it's so big right now. The NFL draft was big. We try to relate it to what's going on. The cheating was brought on by the Houston Astro, Boston Red Sox type thing. So yeah, that's kind of what we try to do, I think, for any sports fan or anyone involved in little league, junior high, high school, college sports, or even really just leadership in general. I think it's something you would enjoy. So, yeah, I enjoy listening to these other things. I'm still writing for Great Seal Sports. Magazine just came out with Dane Miller and Amaris Cooper on the cover, talking about a salute to our seniors. I'm honored just now doing an interview with Brandon and Jacob Smith. Outstanding nice. Story. And certainly touching on their situation, but John, the twist we're going to do in our Great Seals Sports article is the Ross County community and taking mm-hmm. you back to that February 1st night there at Uniota-Dena yeah. pregame. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in all my years in sports. So just some really cool things going on, Bruce. So obviously SVC Sports Talk still serves as the foundation of everything we're going in terms of a decade of work. And, you know, as long as we continue to get the support needed, we're not going anywhere. You know what yeah. I mean? It's something that we are excited to do. And I know we don't have a lot of current sports to talk about, but just like again here this evening, I think really have some things on the agenda that people will enjoy.
Well, I definitely learned one thing out of your second podcast on expanding the zone, and that was that I never want to sit down at the euchre table with you guys.
Well, as the one feedback said, maybe sometimes I need to be a little bit morally correct at the table, but sometimes maybe Matt needs to get a little tougher at the euchre table.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Well, stealing the deal and, you know, going off the top and all that kind of stuff. That was, it gave me a new appreciation for the competitiveness of Shane Combs. He's a quiet guy, but boy, is he dangerous, apparently, particularly at the card table. Oh,
completely true.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Shane, other topics we're going to talk about today on SVC Sports Talk. Why don't you kind of give us a rundown on the agenda, will you?
Yeah, I think we have some topics here that John's going to really be able to give some good insight on. I'm going to enjoy talking back and forth with him here as Bruce throws these our way. Obviously, as always, we want to thank you, Advanced Services, Crown Hill Golf Club and North Fork Animal Clinic. Bruce will be giving some shout outs throughout and giving some information. But John, we have all these quarantine challenges and some things in the off season. The program, we've touched on them. It's continuing to grow so much. I've had some people kind of wanting us to get some feedback, maybe pick out some of our favorites. Maybe share to where other programs can steal. Because let's face it, so many of the things we do, we steal from other programs and we try to mm-hmm. you know, put them into our own and tweak it here and there. We mentioned a little bit John's research off of last show, the 1992 discussion, got me into about five or six different conversations where the feedback's just been really cool. So maybe it'll even introduce some spectrum of topics for John and Derek and myself and Sir Brock Netter maybe to play around with. During this time, which, you know, John's already kind of doing, which is really, really cool. And and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then our senior shout outs this week, guys, we're going to do a little different twist. John and I will take the week off, and we're going to go ahead and let some younger teammates, we're going to hear from two of our sophomore softball stars, as they're going to give a senior shout out, a special addition to their seniors on their respective teams there at Uniota and Paint Valley. So a lot to get to. Should be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
All right. Up first, it is now the off season for every athlete in every sport. And up next, we look at what the area programs are doing to stay busy. First section this afternoon, as we record this on Tuesday the 28th, is going to be sponsored by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Be found on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com. You can give them a call at 877-947-4499. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and they remain open to service all of your HVAC needs. You can follow them, like I said, on the website. Probably give them a call as the best to see what they can do for you in this time, as things are a little upside down in our world right now. So we appreciate Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration's continued support of SVC Sports Talk. Shane kind of hit on it before we went to break there, we've seen so much about these quarantine challenges that are going around the SVC. Shane, why don't you kind of explain that topic for us?
Well, yeah, it's really a lot of fun. It's a situation where, you know, coaches obviously can't get together in large groups or in groups really at all with their kids. So the communication online, the communication throughout the community, just kind of staying connected as a team, as a program, as a family. And they're putting a lot of different workout things out there. You'll see it in a lot of different sports. They'll use some clever hashtags, and they'll kind of challenge each other, or maybe they'll put them out there and ask for the kids on their workouts to post their workouts, or, you know, obviously they're not going to put their entire workout on there, but they'll just show little clips of this. Hey, here's what we're working on right now, that type of thing. So, you know, John, I know Bruce has some different things he's going to take us down through in particular sports and different things. But first, I would just ask you, what's been your take on these? I know I've really enjoyed them. It's really kind of an example of creativity and really making the no excuse mentality in terms of getting better, isn't it? At least that's what I'm getting from it.
Oh, I completely agree, especially the no excuse part, because you're getting these workouts and the coaches are very open about, you know, lines of communication if you don't understand something. So there's no reason why kids shouldn't be able to at least do the ball handling stuff or different things. Maybe they can't directly get to a basket, but you can work on different things. And I think that's really good. And like you said, really creative. I think it's really important for kids to get outside and work on these things, because especially when it's nice, like this today, we're recording on a Tuesday and it's beautiful out. It's even kind of hot. So you can get a sweat going and you're going to feel better. So I just think it's really good and creative. And I think it shows, you know, that these area coaches are not going to just relax because we can't get one-on-one time with these kids, but we can still get some stuff in, and improve. This is when you're going to see the differences between like sophomore to junior year for some kids, or junior to senior year, is this time off. Is how hard are they working? Are they putting in the extra work? Because really a lot of places where kids are going to be working right now aren't even open. So get outside and work on your skills, or just work on these different workouts that these coaches are giving you.
Well, John, I know basketball is near and dear to your heart. So how are you? Let's talk. I know other sports are as well. I shouldn't say that.
Right.
But I know you are a JV basketball coach. So how are you handling these quarantine challenges for your basketball program?
Luckily for me, and I think for the entire Uniota program, we have Nick Easterday.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's been putting together these challenges, and you know, we're getting sent to them from him, and then we're passing them on to our teams. I didn't even think about it at first, the first week that we did it, but then I think it was yesterday, I put something up on Facebook and I got different messages from people that are around my age that have kids going through junior high and middle school, tagging their kids in it and showing their kids, you know, because that's what we want, is we want not just the kids coming back next year, but the kids coming up through the program to work on these different skills, because that's just going to make things a little bit easier once the season gets going. If you already know these things that we're going to be concentrating on within the offense, within the defense, whatever. So yeah, we're putting out stuff. You know, I usually run the Uniota basketball Twitter account, but you know, Nick is running a little bit of it now. We're starting an Instagram where we're trying to spread out or get kids' videos up and shared of them doing their workouts and whatnot. And it's just, we're trying to make sure everyone knows, you know, we're still going through this. We're still a family throughout this whole thing. Even if we're not together, we can still work on the same stuff and get better as time goes on. And I think Nick's done a really good job of separating guard and post stuff, to where it's not just, you know, our centers aren't going to be working on a bunch of ball handling stuff that they'll never use.
He doesn't have that point guard bias like some people do. Is that what you're saying?
He does. Still.
I didn't realize there's any players out there that couldn't dribble.
Our guys can. It's just they may not need to work on the different dribble moves we're working on. And also, I think, and this is something I shared from, this is going to be a personal thing, my all-time favorite player in the NBA, Keith Van Horn, shared a thing where he talked about different moves and different things that people don't actually need.
Right.
And I think Nick's done a really good job of that. Of, you know, we're not putting all these, like, there's a move that, because I was an idiot, I could do, was called the slip and slide. It was a street ball move. And we're not trying to get the kids to do stuff like that, that they'll never use in the game. Cause I obviously never used that. But you know, I think as long as
I'm sure coach wouldn't have minded if you just tried to.
Right. Oh yeah. I'm sure I would have played no more seconds that day. but you know, it's really good if, as long as you're putting it, you know, at the level that your team can do it. I've seen that Coach Bradley has shared a lot of stuff with Adina, and I think that, and he's done a thing that I like. I saw, like, Jarrett Garrison, I saw Brandon Smith do one where they're leading what you're working on. And I think that's really good, because then the younger kids can look up to them and look up to these kids that they already look up to and see, oh, okay, well, you know, Brandon or Jarrett, they're showing me how to do this drill. I'm going to work on it in the driveway. Because Shane, I know me and you, when we were growing up, if we saw those older kids, if they showed us anything, we're going to work on it.
No question.
Yeah. I mean, like, we all worked on your brother's, dribble step back. Yeah. I mean, it's like that was something we all worked on. And that's because that's somebody we saw do it. And I think that's what's really fun about this is, you know, we can at least get these kids out there, and they can kind of help work with kids, even if we're not doing it in a camp situation like normal.
Well, Shane, what about you? What about your baseball team? I mean, they would be out on the field right now if it weren't for all this. What are you having them do?
Well, I think that's where you do run into some of the differences. I know with the basketball, as John said, the Piketon workout's been cool. The Adina kids, I know. Or Paint Valley girls. I even had one player of mine call me out, and I had to do a little ball handling earlier today and get it on film. So
can we look forward to that?
I assume Coach Norman will post it if she wants to. So I played along. Okay. So, but no, that's the difference is, you know, you're in this off season right now. It's about having fun, making sure the ball's in your hand, working the skills. And again, Coach Easterday, I just had a chance to interview him, John. He's going to be in this up next month. Our coach's interview, fascinating guy. I've always enjoyed him. Great coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I enjoyed talking to him a little bit in terms of skill development and so forth. But on the baseball side, Bruce, it's a different animal right now. You know, we were trying to maintain some workouts and some conditioning, hoping to get back at it. And, mm-hmm. you know, now in a roster that had 8 seniors, you know, you're in a different type of situation. You're mm-hmm. trying to help seniors kind of handle the news. You're trying to help some of them make some college decisions. You're trying to help some of them, you know, kind of move forward now with some things going on. You're still reaching out to some younger players, and we'll start and keep our workouts going just as we always do. But yeah, right now the baseball's a little different. I've also been fascinated with the football because I think what happens, John, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but you know, we talked about excuses earlier, and okay, and let's just use basketball for a second. If I don't have a rim, okay, well, do I have a ball? Okay, do you have another type of ball? Okay, do you have a place you can get a ball? Have your coach drop you one off, a friend, a neighbor, you know, doing whatever it takes to get a ball. So then, you know, do you have weights? Okay, well, can you do push-ups? Can you do sit-ups? Can you run? Can you sprint? Mm-hmm. Can you jump? You know, and I'll see a lot of guys in football. I mean, they're flipping tires over in their backyard. They're doing different things. They're doing just about everything you can think of. Isn't it? I think you were talking about this earlier. Don't you think it's one of these things where it's now more than ever of the creativity? If you're just asking yourself, okay, well, do I have this or this? No. Okay. Well, I'll just have to wait till, you know, we get back to normal. Then you're going to fall behind. I mean, right. It's one of those things you've got to, you know, not necessarily take no for the answer and figure something out. There's a way to get these materials you need and some different things to do. I think it's a real point of no excuses, figure it out mentality here.
Oh, I completely agree. I think this is really showing how creative, how much you want it mm-hmm. right now, because it's easy. Like you talked about earlier with the no excuses, it's easy to make excuses. Oh, I don't have a hoop. Like for me, the basketball hoop in my neighborhood has 2x4s on it because it's a township place and people are gathering. Well, how am I going to work on my shot? Well, I can still shoot it. It's, you know, I can still get out there and work on ball handling, work on getting to the rim, work on different things. Yeah, the ball's not going to go in the rim. Okay. Well, then I'll work on that when I get back in the gym. But I can work on getting shots up. I can work on technique, get the backspin on the ball. And, you know, I can still work on these things, you know, if I need to. And I think the no excuses is huge right now because, like we've said, it's easy to make excuses, but you're just going to fall behind if you do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
When this is all over, guys, I mean, and we look back on it, one of the things that's going to fascinate me, if I can say that, and one of the good things is the creativity that it has brought out in some people. And, you know, this the quarantine challenges is just one of those creative things that we've come out to answer. You know, when someone says there's no opportunity to play sports, well, that's not true. These people are right. doing it. And I think, you know, I wish that I had all along during this time had kept a journal of the creative things that we've seen. And with sports, it's something like the quarantine challenges. I mean,
well, I think that's where the beauty of social media is. They're still out there. Maybe someone mm-hmm. as creative as one John Bruce could put together a video, right?
Yeah.
Just seeing all these different things of, you know, a Piketon boy and or a Piketon girl or a Dena boy or a Paint Valley girl or the different ones I've seen. Mm-hmm. Zane Trace, I saw some football kids doing some things mm-hmm. the other day. Obviously, you have Uniota film and doing exactly what you said. But, Bruce, it reminds me a lot of that 15, 20, 25 years ago before the whole 10 days came into play and yeah. coaches were allowed to be with their kids more. Right. It used to be more of the coach was your coach during the season. Yeah, you had open gyms or whatever, but they weren't allowed, other than a, you know, a handful of camp days or whatever, to really coach you up. And you did do a lot more on your own. So I think John's spot on in terms of it's not going to take long to figure out when, say, a basketball season rolls around to tell who's been
who did
handling
what.
The basketball and who hasn't. Right.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, we'll move along then. Up next, it appears John's talk of SVC history and research has started some interesting debates between some different SVC fans. And our middle segment here brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff out at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can look them up on the web as well at northforkanimalclinic.com, and they're on Facebook too. And they do have some special procedures. Staff is communicating by phone and email or text, and probably best if you just gave them a call ahead of time to see what special things are being worked out there. That's North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-7387. Well, this section, we're going to talk about some fan feedback, and probably best to just let Shane summarize this, because it kind of has... It started, I think, with John's research, and that got some people to thinking. And when it comes to thinking, Shane is good at summarizing thinking. So let's let Shane talk about that.
This feedback, about 3-4 different angles, and I started to get all over the place, and I was trying to organize it a little bit, and I don't know exactly the best way to do it, so I thought I'd throw it out there and see what you guys thought, and we'll just break down what you guys think's important for the fans to hear. But basically, from the 92 talk and in John's research that's been out there, the stuff that I've done with the GM, we've had some people saying, hey, what about girls basketball? Don't forget about us, you know, doing some of those things. And I had some people looking back. John's pages or brackets, I think I've had people looking back at some of our history pages that list all the champions and so forth. And, you know, they started bringing up questions about, you know, where did the league change? And when it did it change for the better? Did it change for the worse? You know, I had a couple people mention, you know, parity, and is it good to be have parity? Is it better to have great teams? The enrollment thing came back up, you know, Bruce, that mm-hmm. we talked about so much. You know, is that a real thing? Is it an excuse? Is it a you know, expansion and some of those things? Remember,
right.
And they talked about scheduling a little bit. I know that's something we've talked about here on SBC mm-hmm. Sports Talk before. Are you through your scheduling? Is it preparing you? Or are you becoming confident, or are you not being prepared, but maybe you're gaining great confidence? And what's the balance there? How do we compete at the district level, the regional level, the state level, in terms of obviously the tournament formats have changed, the division breakdowns have changed. So all of these different things, I don't know that there's anything new that in our decade together, Bruce, that we haven't necessarily talked about. We've probably even touched on a little bit here in the last year and a half. But it's just funny how during this time, I think you think about on TV, everything right now is the old stuff. So, you know, I'm constantly watching a baseball. I just watched Tom Seaver win his 300th game the other day in like 1985. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, all of these things are throwbacks, and I think it's really got people, especially adults or adult listeners, thinking about history. And I also think it's cool what John's doing, because a lot of your modern teams are in it. So kids that are playing now or just finished up, John, that are in their mm-hmm. 20s, things like that, they're even all of a sudden now they have no choice but to learn about the history, because, you know, their team might be matched up against an SBC champion from, you know, 1990, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what's neat about it. But I think each of these comments from where maybe we haven't talked about them before we haven't necessarily ever talked about, you know, the difference in our league between 1990 to 2000, 2010 until maybe last week's show. And I think that's what maybe brought up some of these particular categories or different things that people are talking about in a different way.
Well, why don't you guys – I've taken some notes here as you've talked there, Shane, different topics that you touched upon.
Attaboy.
Why don't we kind of break down here? I've got four of them or so. Why don't we talk about enrollment, how that's changed, and has it been good for the league? Has it been bad for the league? What are you thinking there? I mean, the enrollment has definitely changed over the SVC's time.
Well, there's no question. The enrollment thing's real. You know, you go all the way back to the days of where I'm sure, you know, when a Paint Valley became Paint Valley, where other schools were still Frankfort, Clarksburg, or, you know, that type of split. Obviously, there's a difference there. You know, when Flagey broke down, John, I'm sure that some of those elite athletes went somewhere. You know what I mean? So, and then obviously as we get into the 2000s, John highlighted really well the open enrollment that started there in 99 and so forth and that. But enrollment's a real thing. I've always talked on here as someone who's been at a smaller school the last 20 years is I can never allow myself, because as the leader, I can't allow my kids to fall into it, of the excuse. So I've always tried to wear two hats here. I've always tried to understand that when I'm working on SVC Sports Talk, for me to act like enrollment's not a real thing would be stupid. I mean, it would be false. But at the same time, you don't want it to be excused. I think it's been hard on the league at times. It is a big difference. But I think it also comes back to, you know, league titles. You know, it certainly has changed the landscape. To win a league title, you used to have more of five or six opponents, in my opinion, where now maybe if you're really elite, you might only have the one, two, maybe three teams that could truly beat you on some nights. I think that's changed it a little bit. But for the most part, I think the biggest enrollment factor, John, has come in how our league has split into different divisions. Mm-hmm. And that's where teams have survived it. You know, you have some teams that haven't realistically won an SVC championship in anything in like a decade, or maybe one or two things. But where the confidence and where the different things continue to grow is maybe they are able to split into a different bracket or a different situation than some of those teams in the league, and they found success in other ways. Do you feel like – throughout the enrollment that the way the divisions have split up and done some different things have been a factor?
Yeah, I think the divisions is helping a lot, because, you know, maybe like we saw with Huntington baseball last year, they were able to get down to Division IV where they were very competitive throughout the year. And then obviously they make a run to the regional. And right. And you know, if they play, and we'll say an SOC one, with schools a similar size, they're probably – their record's completely flipped. And I think that's – I do think the – facing the better teams, maybe the more top-heavy, does help prepare teams for the tournament. You know, it doesn't always turn out well. But I think the – there is a big difference in enrollment between the top school and the bottom school in numbers. And I think you see it kind of overall sports, but not necessarily in any one sport. So like football this past season with Edina, Paint Valley, and Southeastern mm-hmm. being the top three teams in the league, all of them making it to the playoffs. Well, those are three of the four smallest schools in the league. And that's where the splitting into different divisions works. And that's where the enrollment thing kind of, to me, it can kind of, you know, you still have to have a special class coming through. If you're at the smaller schools, where I think at maybe the bigger schools, you can have a class or two that's not great because you have depth. And I think that's where the depth of athletes makes a big difference. And I think overall, though, you know, in a one night where the games come, like, you know, you're playing one time, there's a the enrollment doesn't matter as much. But when you go to that 14-game schedule, that's where it does make a big difference.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. It's hard on the league grind, but it opens up some different types of avenue in the postseason. Yes.
Yes.
What about parity? I bet you we've said that word more than most other words here over the past 9 years, Shane. We've talked about parity within the league at some points. I remember probably, 3 years ago, we were, there's a lot of parity in football or something like that. We've said that a lot throughout the 9 years here. Has parity been a good thing?
Well, here's the thing about parity. I think parity's tricky. I think the tournament mix up. You know, football going to 7 divisions changed things forever, and going to 8 teams qualifying, it's changed the dynamic. It changed the history. It changed the perspective. I thought, John, you talked about it in some of your research when you look back, and we don't have any appreciation for how good some of these teams were. Why? Because, well, they didn't make the playoffs. Mm. Well, they didn't make the playoffs because it was near impossible to make the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was one of those things where please understand, I am not taking anything away from our current football league. Football in the SVC has grown, in terms of this word parity, Bruce, mm-hmm. A bunch. I mean, 20 years ago when I was growing up in the SVC, there's about 2 or 3 teams that played football. The other ones like collected some money at a gate on Friday night, and then that was it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so football's come a long way. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. All I'm saying is this parity and this growth of the sport completely comes from the new format in which more teams have more of an opportunity. Teams now, John, that are 7-3 making the playoffs, from when you're describing some of those Piketon teams to me and some of those mm-hmm. Westfall teams and Paint Valley teams and all those different teams, that these playoff teams probably weren't as good as some of those teams, but they're operating in a new – like I know Uniota just announced yesterday, right? They're going to drop back to, 4 in football?
Yeah.
So, different things there. But, again, our teams spread out a little bit. There's a reason our smallest teams make the playoffs. It's because they're playing bigger schools when they have the opportunities. When Paint Valley has that elite class come through, or Lane Ruby's coming through, or like look at this Adena group right now. When it doesn't take long to win some of these bigger school games, and at 7-3 you're a lock. So it's I don't want to take anything away from the current programs, but I think parity is a misconception sometimes when we see more teams accomplishing more things. Doesn't mean that they are better than they were 15, 20 years ago. It means they have more opportunity. Am I wrong there, John? Because I'm basing a lot of it, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm basing a lot of that on what I've learned from some of your Twitter research on some of these football teams and so forth over the past couple decades.
Yeah, I looked back at – we'll just use Uniota as an example. You know, they made the playoffs last 3 years. Well, those could easily be like the 8th, 9th, and 10th best teams Uniota's ever had.
No question.
And they were the first 3 to make the playoffs, because some of the teams in the early 80s, when they first started football, Coach Vandegrift and Coach Long, their score differentials were just unreal, because they were bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else, and they just annihilated teams. But they didn't have playoffs, so they finished third in the state 1 year in the poll, but it didn't matter because only the poll champion got anything. And, at the same time, that's when Piketon started to take over. Right after that, Adena had a real nice run. You saw these schools, really kind of get into a groove before the playoffs were really attainable, because a couple years, I think there was there's either 2 or 3 divisions and only 4 teams made it into the playoffs total in the state for each division. It's going to be hard to kind of judge based on that to now, but I do think parity's been overall a good thing. I do think. But you also have to look at, the girls' basketball league. And, really going back in the 2010s, I think Adena won it a couple times, and then Union and Southeastern won it the rest of the time. I mean, that's not very much parity. Oh. And if Southeastern doesn't have Ella Skeens and a Wheeler and the Mittens, you know, does that even happen? You know, it's that's where that one big group comes through, and it's really hard to look at it as we've had a ton of parity. Where like baseball, there's in the 2010s, how many schools didn't make it to the regionals? Was it just one? Well, I guess, yeah, because Huntington would have been last year, would have been the 2010s. So I mean, we've had
just who didn't?
I think Southeastern.
Oh, okay. The one year they lost in the district final. Yes. I mean, even they are right there on the doorstep with some really good teams. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a sport like baseball, there's a ton of parity, and it's really good for the league because you're seeing all kinds of different pitchers and different skill sets and whatnot. But I do think overall, like, you know, this year in boys basketball, Piketon was decent, but they didn't knock off anybody. But after Piketon, the bottom half of the league, it was like, well, you know, Uniota and St. Therese aren't losing to those teams.
John, I'm not trying to put you in the fair spot here because I know you coach on the Uniota staff, but this is the point I was trying to make earlier for people to compare back to the 90s. If you look this year, Piketon was certainly a good basketball team.
Yes.
But my point I was trying to make earlier, and I might have failed, that's why I wanted to ask you straight up. Last year, Adena, Zane Trace, Uniota. I think we agreed that Piketon put themselves into that situation. So there were eight games that true championship caliber, because I didn't think Adena was quite there in my particular opinion. Mm-hmm. I thought they were right on the doorstep, and I think they're going to be really, really good this upcoming year. But Uniota and Zane Trace was going to be really, really hard for them to lose to the bottom four teams out of those eight. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so.
So the point I'm making there is when I say parity is to win a championship back in the 90s, I'm just telling you it wasn't like that. You had five or six opponents that could beat you. I mean, there was maybe like one team on your schedule that you could show up and – or two maybe that you could show up and say, okay, we probably can't lose tonight. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is some of the difference in terms of when I think of parity – In terms of then and now.
Well, and then I'll say this one thing. There's one or two schools. You probably only said that at home. You probably didn't say it on the road.
Well, still right. Really. But if you said it in a shot of like Coach Lovely's ear, you might get something thrown.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And especially Greece. Yeah, Greece may have.
Yeah. That's the 16-year-old Shade Combs talking, not the coach. Yeah.
But, I mean, to me, it was even – going on the road, it was still going to be tough because of just the different environments and whatnot. And it feels like there's not as much of that.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, it's
not as hard to win on the road because of the bigger gyms and the less atmospheres in our politically correct world.
Well, for me, I remember going to games in the 90s or right when the pit closed. And being like, this place is insane. And then the next year going into I'm not gonna call it the new pit. Going into the new gym, and it was like, okay, this is just a game. You know, they have a good student section. You know, they're rowdy and into the game, but it's so big that you know, you don't notice it as much. So now I do think, you know, we do see a lot of really good crowds still, but you know, it wasn't as threatening now as it used to be, and you know, that's probably a good thing, but at the same time it does take away a lot of the atmosphere.
Lots in that mouthful, wasn't there? What about the how is it fared in the regional level? How is SVC fared in the regional level? You kind of touched on this a little bit, but
not well.
Yeah.
Not well, really. I mean, you go back there and again, the 90s had some success into the regional and state level. We had two boys basketball teams go to the state. Did Piketon boys make the regional semi in 92?
Yes.
Semi. And then, you know, Edina girls basketball won state championship. You know, Paint Valley baseball won state championship. Zane Trace had some teams to the state. Uniotas had some teams to the state, and multiple things. Going back to girls basketball in the 80s, baseball throughout the 90s, volleyball made it one time. So Piketon put a team in the state during volleyball in the, what was that, mid-80s, I think. So as we move more in, I have a couple theories here, John, I'll throw out at you, because you're a lot more on the details of the history than I am when it goes back that far, where you've been researching. Mm-hmm. I look at it and I think some of it could be the fool's gold. With these different expansions, you know, like I said, we've put more football teams in the playoffs. That doesn't mean they're ready for that level. You know, there's no sport that plays at a higher level in Southeast Ohio than SVC volleyball. Mm-hmm. But more times than not, now that's not to say Westfall didn't have their 3-year run with a special player like Cassie Sowers. It's not to say Edina hasn't had some teams, but more times than not, the regional level's about where it stops. You know what I mean? Right mm-hmm. there on the doorstep. You know, baseball's at least held its own there. It's been a while since we've been able to break through. Softball the same way. I don't know. I look at it in terms of, I think the SVC, when you're elite, you can more than hold your own in Southeast Ohio. I think our league as a whole, though, and a lot of it's just the dynamics of the geography of our state that we live in. And that's kind of what makes the Joe Burrow thing so cool and so unique for us. You know, if Joe Burrow's from Cincinnati or Columbus or Cleveland, it would still be a cool story. Let's face it. It's even better because he's from like Athens. Mm-hmm. You know, so John, that's my take on that. You know, some of these three division sports where like in track or cross country or some different things, obviously the Uniota boys cross country team is one at higher levels competed. I guess that's where I've come from. Some of our individuals in sports that are individualized like that, golf, cross country, track, can advance by themselves mm-hmm. if they're elite. So, yeah, to me, the regional level is been kind of become our new roadblock in terms of we're just not quite there when it comes to playing in that Sweet 16 and beyond.
Yeah, I agree with that because it's, you know, we've had a lot of teams to the regional. We've had some nice runs, but if you look back at, you know, two of our better teams in the past decade with the Uniota boys and the 2014-15 and the Zane Trace team from not this past year but the year before, you know, kind of running, you know, looking really good going into the regional and maybe being the best team in the regional, but then just not able to get that first win in the regional, you know, coming down late down the stretch, you know, kind of losing composure and whatnot. And, you know, we're right there, but just not quite over the hump. I think it's been since 2005 for a baseball team to make it to the state. And that was an Edina team in an absolutely loaded league. We saw in 2014 with Paint Valley and Westfall, softball,
yes,
both making it was really special. I know Piketon's made it in the past, what, 10 years, I think.
That wasn't that long ago. Was that the Robinson team that hit leadoff? The Brabson girl hit leadoff for that team?
Yeah.
Run that team? Zimmerman.
Yeah, there's Zimmerman. Yeah. So I think that was 2010-11, sometime in there. They made it to state. I think they might have beat Edina in one of the late games, you know, to really make a late push in the tournament. But like you mentioned, for volleyball, we're getting there. It's just we're not getting over that hump. We're not getting past the Berlin Highland or the Wheelersburg, I guess, and also the Tuskegee Valley. You know, that might be where our programs are kind of have a little bit of parity in the league, where, you know, we're coming from one town or different towns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different schools within the town are kind of splintering off, where like a Wheelersburg is Wheelersburg. It's not a Chillicothe thing. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. Sure.
Yeah. So I think that's where you know, but at the same time, if we're all together, we're in bigger divisions, and are we competing as well? I think we could, but at the same time, we don't have any, we don't know that for sure. And, you know, the regional level, it's great to get there, but I would like to see us make a push back to the state level like we were doing in the late 80s, early 90s, with pretty decent consistency. And like you mentioned, not taking anything away from the cross country teams, the golf teams and whatnot that have made great runs as well.
Yeah, no question.
Prepared versus confidence. What's the league history done for us there?
This is fascinating because it goes through all these topics in the one, John. I think we get to a point now, think about it. Our basketball schedule's up to where we pick 8 of our 22 games. Mm-hmm. In baseball, we pick 13 of our 27 games, same way for softball. Really in track and cross country, you see it big time there. They've only required what to run in the league meet. Maybe the expectation is you should run in your county meet. Other than that, they're on their own, aren't they, in terms of like what invite you want to go to and so forth. So I guess what I find is, you know, you can be as prepared as you want to be, but if you're a baseball team that's, you know, 7-20, It's hard to meet down the line after every game, John, and keep looking them in the eye and saying, hey, guys, hang in there with me. I know in the tournament we're going to be prepared. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, then there's another thing that, you know, you may be beating some schools that, you know, not so much, but all of a sudden now you're a 22-5 baseball team. Well, you've been around kids long enough to know, or you're a 17-5 basketball team going into sectional. You've been around kids long enough to know that they expect to win. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things of, are you prepared versus confidence? Now, like so many things, I think it meets in the middle. I think as a coach, we're responsible working with our AD to kind of know the balance of what it is we're looking for. Where do we stack up in the league? Where's our program at in the building process? And you still have to do what's best. But you know what's funny about this is, fans and parents, there are certain times I've in my coaching career, they don't even know. Like, you know, you'll beat some teams where you just played terrible or whatever, and you're disgusted on the way to the bus or whatever, but every kid got in and every kid scored, or every kid got, you know, if it's in softball, baseball, whatever, they got in it bad, or everyone's all have, oh, good win, or we stop being McDonald's, rah rah. You know what I mean? Like, it's all sunshine and puppies. But
right.
But it's then those other times where you'll play like a really tough game and it's a grind and you'll get beat 3-2 in extra innings, or you'll get beat on a last second shot in overtime. And as a coach, there's a part of you that feels pretty good about how your kids competed, but then you'll go and there'll be 10 people ticked off and be like, my kid didn't even get in. I drove all the way down here and didn't, you know, right. And it's so there's so many dynamics in high school sports that coaches deal with and the emotions that kids go through. The prepared versus confidence thing is fascinating to me because it's what makes scheduling, and your scheduling can impact your seed, and it has a lot to do, because at the end of the day, let's face it, John, if you get beat in a sectional semifinal, mm-hmm. or you get a district runner-up medal, you know as well as I do, it could have just been 4 or 5 non-league games where you had a different seed and a different path to that point. Mm-hmm. You might not be any better or worse, but think about the difference in how the perception of that year and then going into the offseason and the future your program would be.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think when you look at prepared versus confidence, if you say – you know, if you want to use a team that's always prepared, which is be the Edina volleyball team, there's times where they go up to that. Is it Sydney Lehman? Is that where they play?
Great example. Yeah.
They go up there. They might only win one game out of the three, or they might lose all three, but that gets them so prepared throughout the year. And like the SVC gets them prepared, where they might come in with a not great record and they'll still be a top three seed because everyone knows how good they are. So I think that's where if you can deal with the getting some confidence down from losing those games, like obviously Coach Smith has been able to do, you know, you can be very prepared for a great tournament run and, you know, building off of that. And I like what you said about, you know, maybe you lose on a last second shot and you play well. And I can I go back to this year in basketball, our freshmen are playing Jackson, who only lost one game. And Jackson, like, we made a free throw to go up by two. They called timeout. And, we do a good job of stopping the ball. And the kid throws up a prayer from a little past half court, banks it in, and we lose. Well, me and Coach Rose, Nick, our freshman coach, we're just after the game. It's like, well, we played well. We were in position to win. You just, sometimes it doesn't happen. And that's what happens when you play a good team. That'll prepare you for more down the line. And I think it shows with certain teams in their non-league schedules. I do think that, like, I'll use another recent example would be like the Zane Trace boys team from last year, where they come in at, I think they finished the season at 18-4, but they played like a Hilliard Davidson. They played Hannah Lincoln. They beat Chillicothe. They were prepared for the tournament because of the teams they played, and they were able to get their confidence back through the league. If you watch them, you know they weren't lacking in confidence. That's why they were so good. And I think being prepared while also knowing, you know, as long as you test yourself, and I think it'll prepare you more, and you'll be able to get your confidence back as long as you know, okay, well, like, I'll use Chillicothe as an example this year. They played Archbishop Moeller. Well, you're probably not playing a better team than that, unless it's, you know, whoever might beat them. So the fact they hung around with them for a while, they probably weren't going to win anyway, but that gives them more confidence moving forward and prepares them. So I think you have to be careful with your scheduling, but at the same time, I do think it helps down the line.
Well, John, your research has really kicked up some things here to discuss, and those Good. Were only but four of them, but we're going to kind of move on here. Up next, we're going to continue to honor our seniors for 2020 as we continue our senior shout-outs. Our senior shout out portion of our podcast is going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Weather continues to improve, and Crown Hill is the place to be if you want to hit the little white ball around. You can find them at 9500 US Route 22 West in Williamsport. To give them a call, 740-986-4653. Look them up on the web. Great website, crownhillgolfclub.com. Appreciate their continued sponsorship of the program. Well, Shane, it's that time again. We've been doing this, I think, for the past three podcasts where we talk about a senior shout out. So why don't you get us rolling in that respect?
Well, absolutely. We're going to do a little change of pace here. Usually we try to mix it up a little bit to get some seniors some attention. 2 weeks back, I had some interviews that we put together. And enjoyed some of gosh, help me there, guys. Marcy Dudgeon, Seth Beeler, Amber Cottrell,
Nate Kaiser,
and one more there.
Cam Evans.
Yeah, Cam Evans.
Cam Evans was on there, but I don't think he was one of the senior shout outs. Was he? Let's see, Payne Valley, Acton, Southeastern. I think I'm missing someone, but maybe I did get them all there. But you know, we thought what we would do this week is John and I would take a week off, and we would reach out to some of the younger kids in our league, and highlighting softball this week. And the first one up comes from both these are two sophomores that are elite talents in our league. The first one comes from Avery Miller of Uniota. Avery's a kid that pretty much from day one of her freshman year was a player of the year candidate in terms of, and if our league in baseball softball would ever split offense, defense, she's certainly on the offensive side, probably a scary presence at the plate. I would think, John, just her ability to change a game in one swing.
Right. I think she hit a home run in her first at bat
that's
as a varsity player.
Yeah. That's fitting. So she's terrific. And, We thought it would mean far more to the Uniota seniors to maybe hear it from a teammate. So when we reached out to some different people, we didn't know what kind of feedback we would get, but certainly from Avery and Miller and Olivia Smith of Paint Valley, we got that. So I'll tell you what, Bruce, let's go ahead with the audio from Avery Miller. Then we'll give John a chance to comment on the Uniota seniors as well.
Hi, my name is Avery Miller, and I'm a sophomore softball player at Uniota. First off, I'd like to thank SVC Sports Zone and Shane, John, and Bruce for allowing me the opportunity to honor some of my senior teammates on the show this week. I would like to start by saying that as a freshman last year, I was really fortunate to be able to play with some really great senior leaders. Josie Fisher, Jayla Campbell, and Tori Neff taught me so much over the course of that season and prepared me as an athlete for years to come. Coming into this year, our softball team's hopes were high, and we had a lot of seniors that we were going to rely on to help us compete for an SEC title and a long tournament run. As we now know, our season won't happen this spring, and those seniors learned that they played their last game back in Athens in our loss to Sheridan in the district tournament last year. To Hallie Pinkerton, Jersey Paul, Haley Holt, Peyton Britton, Maddie Brown, and Grace Anderson. I will never forget the fun times we had last season and hope that those great memories will get you all through the tough times this year and through graduation and your next steps in life. At Uniota, we always say that we reload after losing a great group of senior athletes, but it will be really tough to replace you guys. I wish you all good luck, and please know that your underclassmen learned a lot from you, and we will hope to honor you on the field in future seasons to come.
Just outstanding. Again, that's sophomore Avery Miller from Uniota. And John, you know, when she's talking there a little bit, you start to realize with Pinkerton and company that they certainly do lose quite a bit when you consider what some of those names I was hearing there have given, not just to the softball program, right, but really to several programs throughout. Just your thoughts there on Avery's message and to the seniors overall there at Uniota.
Well, and for me, I'm around those kids a lot, you know, with teaching and whatnot, not just in sports, but those are really good kids. So I can see how they'd be really good leaders. You know, Hallie, I think everyone knows how good of an athlete she is, seeing her from volleyball into basketball and softball. You know, Haley Holt, I know, had a really good career. Peyton Britton was a kid who worked really hard, had a good career. Jersey Paul was – do you remember Trey Ivey from a few years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jersey reminds me a lot of Trey in that it may not have been until her senior year that it really was like, oh, my God, this girl's good. And it'd be unreal to have her for another year. And that's kind of what Trey was for us in basketball. And I've thought Jersey that way of – you know, maybe taking a little longer to overall develop, but being a special athlete and kid just really made it to where she was able to have a really good senior year. And I know she's going to in softball too. And like Maddie Brown, Grace Anderson, really good kids. You know, so that's kind of where my thought process is of, you know, it's obviously it's tough to lose a season, but it's tough to not be able to see these kids anymore. I know you feel that same way with your guys. It's going to be tough to not see these seniors be able to have their last things. Like, they don't know that their last game was at OU against Sheridan.
No, right.
Yeah. For like the baseball team, like Nate Kaiser didn't know his last high school baseball at bat was going to be against Warren last spring. It's just, that's the thing to me that's been kind of upsetting about it, is it just came so fast. And I mean, it's really tough for these kids. And, you know, I know I'll miss them, and I can pretty much say that about all of the ones across the SBC.
Well, we stay on the the softball side there, Bruce, and head out to Paint Valley. Another sophomore, Olivia Smith. She's an elite talent, and she had a message for some seniors as well.
Hey, this is Olivia Smith, a sophomore from Paint Valley, and I just wanted to give a shout out to the five seniors on my softball team: Paige, Jillian, Shay, Livia, and Marissa. I'm so sorry about our season and about how your senior year is ending. I was really looking forward to playing with all of you one more time. I know we had high hopes of having a great season after I finished last year, and now we'll never know. Just want to wish you all the best of luck and say thanks for your leadership and being role models by accepting any role you were ever given. I'll miss you and love you.
Again, good stuff, far better than John and I could do. We know how much more meaningful it is, John, when it comes from a peer. Right. And coming from a younger peer, I think that's good stuff. And, you know, we just got done talking about tournament success from the year before. Obviously, Paint Valley Softball had a special upset win there a year ago. Mm-hmm. And what that was, I mean, just the incredible excitement that jump started into their off season. And I got to watch firsthand how some of them went to work and did certain things. So, again, has to be difficult. Just your take on Liv's message there, but really just the overall softball season that we were in for. We heard from Marcy there a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we mentioned Pinkerton tonight. You heard me mention Lily Snyder and the Huntington group they had coming back. I mean, there's some talented bunches out there across softball league.
Yeah. And Adina was going to be better.
Yes.
They are going to continue to get better. Yeah, it's just it's really rough. You know, we've talked about baseball before, and softball was loaded and was going to be, you know, it's been a really good league for years, but it was continuing with a really special senior class, like the one mentioned up at Westfall. Uniota's senior class was really good. Paint Valley building off of that upset. And honestly, Poisson's Clay is one of the best softball programs in Southeast Ohio, regardless of division. So that was a monster upset. And it's huge because you can build a program off of that with your youth. And, you know, it's disappointing to see them not be able to do that. But hopefully, like we've talked about throughout this, those younger kids are still working to improve and get better every day. So they can make the most of it the next, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, whatever they have left, you know, because things are going to get back moderately to normal at some point. And I think that, you know, if they're putting in the work, you know, and I know those two kids, Olivia and Avery, are definitely putting in the work now, you know, to make sure they're kind of building on those legacies that their seniors have left on.
Yeah, no question. I tell you what, Bruce, if you want to give some contact information there, just had a couple final thoughts. I will give John the same opportunity. We'll get out of here this week.
All right. For contact information, we'd love to hear about your ideas, and you can contact these guys and impart those ideas. Shane, his email, admin1@svcsportzone.com. He's available on Twitter, where his handle is svcsportzone. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportzone.com. To contact John Bruce, you may email him at jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And on Twitter, his handle, of course, everybody say it together now, @CoconutWallPapa, @CoconutWallPapa. And these guys, when they are doing some SVC Sports Talk tweets, do use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. You may also leave us a voicemail message at DBK Voicemail Line, 740-569-3254. And as always, if you see our traffic on Facebook, we ask that you share it. On Twitter, we ask that you perhaps retweet it and maybe like it. And if you're listening on iTunes, could you please give us a great rating and maybe a good review as well? We'd love to hear from you guys, because that pretty much determines, given the dearth of sports topics out there right now, we'd love to know what you'd like to hear us discuss. So, guys, we're moving on into final thoughts. John, what's the final thought you want to leave the listeners with this week?
You kind of covered it with the leaving reviews and whatnot. If you get a chance and you can watch Shane and Matt's podcasts on YouTube, but you can also hear it on, I know, on Apple, on their podcast. That's where I listen from. You can review it, Expanding the Zone on there. It's a really good listen. It flies by. And then, like I mentioned earlier, with One More Ride, for me on the podcast on there, you know, it's kind of a good time to help each other out. On you know, helping a neighbor out, whatnot. If you can help in any way, you know, I think the restrictions are going to kind of take a step back now. But at the same time, you know, if you have a neighbor in need, you can, you know, be a good neighbor more now than ever. You know, it's I think people have grown through this whole thing, and I hope they continue to do it once the restrictions are lifted, because I, you know, sometimes it wasn't great before, but I would like to the really good stuff to come back and then, you know, keep getting better moving forward.
Well, I think that was well said. I think that, you know, since he kind of went that route, I agree with everything he just said. I'll kind of talk a little bit to our younger audience through all these challenges and through all these different things. I always love the quotes. I've heard different coaches use different versions of practice like a senior, because one day you'll be one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if we haven't learned that through this, you're not going to. So, you know what I mean? It's one of those that I kind of think of those seniors from 2020, and if you're a freshman, eighth grade, freshman, sophomore, whatever it might be, you know, kind of be thankful that you're still going to have an opportunity to hopefully get back at it and play a little bit. And really enjoyed my conversations this week on the phone with Coach Kyle Bradley, Coach Matt Hoops, Coach Jason Stauffer, Coach Ryan Smith. I've had, you know, talked to just a lot of different people, and the message has been the same throughout, in terms of, you know, cool to see some opportunity with family and to do some things and to see how hard kids are still working and so forth. So, guys, a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll continue to come up with some topics from fans. I've enjoyed the feedback. I've enjoyed the stroll down the history lane of the SVC, and hopefully here real soon we'll have some more modern stuff returning to talk about. So keep checking out svcsportszone.com. We try to keep some stuff updated on there. Also, try to link. John's going to have some things there on Sosa, so pay attention to what Derek and Sir Brocknetter's doing over there as well. And then, as Bruce just had given on the contact information, should be easy to find. So, guys, until we get together next time, we'll keep trying to keep it 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.